it's a drug that is approved for use internationally for secondary breast cancer, and it's obviously used and it works for a lot of patients across the world, but it's not approved on the NHS as yet. It's all going through all the red tape and all the hoops that everything has to go through via NICE. And it's what you call a PARP inhibitor, which I can't explain that scientifically, but all I do know is that it works for my type of breast cancer, and it is approved in the primary breast cancer settings. But I just unfortunately missed out on that when I had primary breast cancer, because it had only just been approved. And I missed out because you've got to have it in conjunction with chemotherapy within 8 weeks of finishing chemotherapy. And by the time it was approved and given out on the NHS, it was 3 months after my chemotherapy. So I couldn't have it on primary, which I was gutted about. And then when I got 12 months later, got secondary breast cancer, I thought, okay, another shot at olaparib, it's called, and was told by the oncologist that, yes, although it is available for primary, it's not available for secondary as yet. It's all, they're waiting for evidence, apparently. The NICE haven't been given enough evidence by AstraZeneca, who make the drug. So, yes, I can't have it unless I've got private health insurance or I've got lots of money in the bank and can have it privately. It was told to me by my oncologist, who works for the NHS and in the private sector, and he prescribes it to lots of his lovely private patients who are on it, and it works for them, and he knows it works for them. But because I haven't got private health insurance or loads of money, that carrot was pulled away, dangled in front of me, and then just like whipped away, and I can't have it, unfortunately. And because my cancer, I have a triple negative breast cancer, which I have the BRCA1 mutation. There's not that many options out there for me. The most common type of breast cancer is ER-positive cancer. So it's cancers that feed from estrogen. Mine doesn't feed from anything. It just grows regardless. So anybody who's got the most common type of breast cancer, 85% of people have got. There's loads of options out there because there's loads of estrogen blockers that they can try. But for me, chemo is the only thing that I can have. And obviously, it's very, very brutal on your body. And it often is stopped because your body can't deal with it. Your body can't cope with it. And that is why my life expectancy is lower. I've got fewer options. And this would be another option for me to have. It would be a targeted therapy, nowhere near as damaging to my body as chemo. But I can't get it. So I thought, you're not doing this to me. You're not doing this to my family. I'm not just going to sit there and go, fair enough, okay, whatever. I'm not giving myself that chance. And it's not just for me, it's for all the other thousands of women out there that are in my situation.
What have they said about your life expectancy, Rachel?
They haven't, because I told them I didn't want to know, mainly because I just didn't want them to, I didn't want to have a countdown of my life. And I also didn't want, I didn't want to be told, say, for example, 3 to 5 years, because really, I mean, I'm very hopeful and I'm a very optimistic person, and I've been very, very positive throughout this. And I just think to myself, what you're telling me now, because things are coming available all the time. New drugs are being approved all the time. And I thought, what you're telling me now, probably in 12 months, 2 years' time, is going to be out of date, because scientists will have brought out this new drug and they'll have stepped forward and they'll move forward and they'll have got this lots of new options. So I thought, there's no point in you telling me that, because you do hear it all the time, don't you? People say, oh, I was given 12 months to live, and I'm still here 3 years later. And I just didn't want to have to say to people that horrible thing of, I've been given 2 or 3 years. I've got 2 or 3 years. It's just depressing. And that's not me. I don't think like that. So,
okay.
But yeah, obviously it's life limiting. And from what I read from other people, I'm guessing 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you've started doing some fundraising of various types to get you to this target that you need. Tell me what you've been doing so far and within your sort of friends and family, and then obviously having to broaden it out a bit.
Yeah, so far, well, me and my friend Chris Martin set up a crowdfunding page. It was his idea to do it, and he's just one of these people that he knows a lot of people and he knows things and just things to do and who to talk to and what to do to get the ball rolling with different things. So we started off with the crowdfunding page, and then he's really good with computers and stuff. So he did like a really good blurb, shall we say, for it, talking all about what's happening with me and why we're setting it up. And then from there, I did get a phone call from somebody who, because we've got our own business, we advertise in a few local magazines, and I'm friends with one of the people on Facebook who works for the magazines. She rang me and said, we've decided if it's okay with you, we're going to do a feature in all five of our magazines and put it across for you. And I was like, and that just got me thinking, okay, amazing. Like, if I can do that in that magazine, who else can I do that through? So we got the word out there through different medias, and the crowdfunding page just went mad. For like, we got up to £7,000 in the first 3 weeks. So, and then from there, my daughter said, because she got her head together with all the friends and said, we're going to have a fundraising evening. And we're going to speak to the lady who runs the local community centre, and we're going to get them to let us have it for free. And we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I was like, okay, brilliant. She was 16 at the time. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought it was one of those ideas that her and her girlfriends all had a little chat in the bedroom and it would come to nothing. But that was yesterday. We had that yesterday afternoon, a fundraising afternoon, and it was fantastic. The people that came out and the efforts that everybody went to, all the local people. We had a raffle tombola, and it was just a fantastic atmosphere. And when we got home last night, we all totted it up, and we'd made £1,500 from a little idea that Camis had in a bedroom with a friend. So and then in January, 20th of January, another one of my friends came up with the idea because her son's in a band, and she said, why don't we have a gig night where we get all local bands, including the one my son's in, let them have 45 minute slots each and sell tickets and have like a fundraising gig. So that's happening on the 20th of January. And then we're going to do something for Easter, and we're just going to carry it on, and people are coming up with ideas all the time, and it's just amazing. It's just...
Well, yeah. where's the gig in January?
The gig is at Cresswell, okay. Cresswell Events Centre, and we've got three bands already definitely signed up, and we're just like thinking of stuff and just not going to let it go. We're not going to let it go until I can walk into that oncologist room with my checkbook and say, give me this drug.
Now, I was reading on one of the news articles that's been written about your appeal that it's a certain number of thousands of pounds a month. Do you have to buy in bulk to say, I'm going to have 6 months, 12 months of this? Or can you say, here's £5,000, give me a month's worth, and then we'll keep going?
I know what you mean. Yeah. I think the discussion I had with the oncologist, he said, because you have to sort of have like a lump sum to put down, because just in case you're hospitalised. So if I had this drug and it affected me, made me poorly, which sometimes even though, you know, it's supposed to make me better, it can have side effects like any drug can. I've got to have money set aside so that they can hospitalise me in the private sector. So there's that to think about initially. And then he said you would need at least the first 6 months. Don't think they would prescribe it for any less amount than that. So we've got a little bit way to go, but it is one of the options of treatment sort of further down the line. There are other more effective treatment lines that they like to try first. And not more effective, so that they can prove are more effective, because obviously, remember, this is less than 12 months old, this drug. So they haven't got much history, if you know what I mean, to work on. But they've got the UK history. And then, like I said, it's international. So it's a drug that, because it's sort of pretty new, they are still doing trials on it as well. They are still doing quite a few trials around the UK as well, which is another way that I could possibly get hold of the drug. But again, it is a lot of hoops to jump through. It could take months, and I don't want to be in that position when I need this drug for them to say, okay, yeah, well, you need it now, but we'll put you on a list for a trial. And if one comes through, and you know, I haven't got time for that. I need to be able to access it when I need to be able to access it. That is why we've sort of gone for the initial 12 months for the treatment as the first sort of target, but this could be ongoing. And my hope is that in the meantime, it will be approved by the NHS. I mean, there's quite a few different charities that are sort of on it, trying to get this approved as quickly as possible. At Breast Cancer Now, they're massive advocates for it, and they got the drug approved initially for the primary breast cancer. They rallied and did loads of different things to try and push it, to get it pushed through quicker, and they were successful. It was a massive thing for them, getting it approved on the primary sector, and now they're at it again, trying to get it approved for secondary. But it's just all very frustrating, because the NHS is a wonderful thing, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to things like this, it's very money orientated, and the oncologist admitted that to me. It all comes down to money, and it just wouldn't be the case if we lived like in, for example, America. You know, most people, not everybody, don't get me wrong, but most people have got health insurance, and it's just given to them the click of a finger because they've got health insurance. It's not thought about. It's, you know, there's nobody there going, hold on a minute, wait a minute, can we afford this? That's the only thing in these sort of situations where the NHS maybe isn't quite a good thing.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? And you spoke about being frustrated, but I mean, you also do sound calm and in good humour in a way that I'm not sure I would be able to manage. I think I'm absolutely tearing my hair out. I mean, I don't know. It's just to have to, you've got enough on your plate with being ill without then having to work out how to raise tens of thousands of pounds, and yet that's the situation you're in.
It takes my mind off it. It really does. It gives me something to think about, something to focus on, and something to fight for. You know, and like I say, I'm fighting, as they say, all the time, every day. But it just gives me something else to think. Right, I look at my family and I think, yeah, I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this to spend more time with you so that you can have more time with me. And that's what keeps me going. It really does. Every time, like, somebody puts a fiver into that GoFundMe, it puts a smile on my face. I just think, you know, so many strangers, absolute strangers, have put money at hard times near Christmas into that GoFundMe, and it just warms my heart so much. And I'm so glad, really, in a way, that I've got this to focus on, because it makes me think about something other than me being ill and having a non-curable cancer.
Yeah, I guess it does. It gives you focus. I hadn't thought of it that way.
It does. Same as like not giving up work. People who are, because I'm self-employed, I've not got that option really. But a lot of the people, I do go to a secondary breast cancer group at the Royal Hospital, and a lot of those have given up work because they're having chemo or they're having treatment. And I think, what do you do? Like, I just drive myself mad, overthinking everything at home. Like, you know, thinking, oh, I can't work, I'm ill. I, I just carry on. I get up in the morning, I go to work, I do what I can while I can, and it's better for my mental health personally.
Are you actually sort of going out fitting people's kitchens and sizing them up and stuff, or what are you doing?
No, my husband does that. So, yeah. So I do the admin, greet the customers in the showroom, and just basically look after the showroom and make sure it runs smoothly, and make sure it's ordered and ready for fits and organise the fitters and things like that. So yeah, that's what I do, and it's hard work and it's stressful sometimes, and I think, oh, could do without this. But yeah, it's again, just gives me, I get to work and I'm in work zone, and I'm not sat here, I'm thinking about stuff and reading, you know, depressing stories on the internet about cancers, and I'm out of like the cancer world and the hospital, and I'm at work doing what I think I'm good at. So
Yeah, I can see why it's good to keep going with that.
I just want to reiterate that I'm not just doing this for me, I'm doing this to raise awareness. So like I said, there's other thousands of women out there that are unfortunately in my position and have been told by their oncologist that there are no other options, when there are other options out there available in the UK to them. They would have to have money for it, and they would have to, you know, they would have to probably fight for it, but just keep going on and on. Knowledge is power. If you can turn around to your oncologist and say what I said to him, he would gobsmack that I knew all about this drug and all about what was happening with it. And he had to give me answers. And I just think that I'm doing this for other people as well. I'm doing this for the people who may not have as big a voice as me. And if I can get this approved in my lifetime, I will have done my job.